Father, we thank you for the amazing privilege that we have to come before you in prayer. Thank you that you hear the prayers of your people. Thank you that we can call you our Father. Thank you that you answer our prayers for our good and for your glory. And so we pray now that you'll help us to be people who are healthy in prayer. Be with us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we take a lot of things for granted. Isn't it amazing that we can just flick on the light switch and the lights come on? It's amazing how that works. I don't know how it works. All I know is that I can turn the light on, flick the light switch and the light comes on. At one point in history, that didn't happen. Or the fact that we can turn the tap on and water that is safe to drink pours out of it. And one of the best things that we can do is just turn to our phones and ask Google to give us any answer that we need. Isn't it amazing the things that we have, the privileges that we have in this day and age? There are many more. We could go on all day thinking about them. But I wonder if sometimes we take them for granted. And I wonder if we do the same when it comes to prayer. I wonder if we take prayer for granted. We have this amazing privilege to speak to the one who made all things, the one who sustains all things. We have this amazing privilege to call him our Father. We're only able to do that because Christ died and rose to life. As one writer put it, prayer is a blood-bought privilege for those who trust and treasure Jesus. And so if that's us, if we are trusting and treasuring Jesus, what an amazing privilege we have to come before the Lord in prayer. But do we take that privilege for granted? I'm sure we all have at some point. But prayer is a privilege to be treasured. That is one of the reasons that we begin every year here focusing on prayer. We have a prayer week or a prayer month to focus on that amazing privilege that we have. And if we are to be healthy in our Christian lives, in our church life, then we need to be making sure that we are healthy in our prayer lives. As Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Prayer is essential to the Christian life, to be healthy in those Christian lives. We must keep a close watch on ourselves and on our prayer lives. And so this morning I want to help us with that, to help us keep our prayer lives healthy, or to begin working towards that. And I want us to do that by giving us a tool, and many of you will know this tool. It's the word ACTS, and we use it as an acronym: Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. It helps us to focus our prayers on each of those different headings. And so the first one is adoration, and this really is the foundation for our prayers. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayer begins with acknowledging who it is we pray to. You remember the Magi, they came to worship Jesus. They recognized who he is. They bowed down and worshipped him. They adored him alone. And we sing that carol, don't we, at Christmas? Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. He alone is the one that we are to worship, to adore. He is the one that we praise for who he is and what he has done. We pray to our Heavenly Father, the everlasting Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. We are his children by faith. And we praise and adore our great God for who he is and for what he has done. He has revealed himself to us in his word and in creation, and we show our adoration to him. We worship and adore him. We praise him for who he is and for what he has done. And we turn to the Psalms and we see it all over the place there. Psalm 8, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 68, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. As we pick up our Bibles, as we read them, God shows us who he is. And our response is to worship and adore him. Our mouths and our hearts should be filled with praise and adoration to him who is our God. And so when we open our Bibles, he shows us who he is. He speaks to us through his word, and then we respond in prayer, in worship, in adoration of him. Tim Keller writes in his book on prayer, our prayers should arise out of immersion in the scripture. We speak only to the degree we are spoken to. The wedding of the Bible and prayer anchors your life down in the real God. We open our Bibles, we see who God is, and then we respond with hearts of thanks and praise in worship and adoration of who he is. We read in Philippians 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Who does that speak of? It speaks of Christ. It speaks of our Lord. And so as we focus on him, as we focus on the excellencies of God, we then come humbly before our Lord in prayer, in worship and adoration. He deserves all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And as we focus on him, that is the way we will come in prayer, the right way. We'll come boldly. We'll come in praise and adoration and worship. But we'll never come arrogantly in prayer. We'll never come presuming. We'll never come flippantly in prayer before our God, who is our Father. And so as we look up to God, it leads us to worship him in adoration, but it also leads us to look at ourselves, and that takes us to the second letter to confession, verse 12 of Matthew 6, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. True confession is not repentance motivated by a desire to escape paying the cost of our sin. And so we see that in our children, or I see it in my children at least. They've done something wrong, and to escape the consequences of their wrong, i.e. I'm going to take your Xbox from you, or I'm having your mobile phone for a week, they are quickly to say sorry, just to avoid that consequence of sin. But that is not true confession. True confession is falling solely on the mercy of God. It's going to him with a contrite heart, with godly remorse for offending a holy God. We mourn and confess our sin because it dishonors God. Yes, we look to the cross and we know that all sin has been paid for by Jesus and his sacrifice. That is one of the great assurances of the Christian faith. Our sin has been dealt with at the cross, but we still live in sinful bodies, in a sinful world, and we still fall short of the holiness of God. And so we recognize that, and we bring that before the Lord. In Psalm 51, when David sinned, he came before the Lord in confession. He didn't excuse his sin or blame somebody else. With godly sorrow, he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David knew that he'd sinned. He knew that he'd sinned against the Lord. And so he comes before the Lord, crying out for mercy, knowing that the Lord forgives and removes, knowing that the Lord will wash clean his sin. And so in this Christian life, this life of sanctification, this life of being changed more and more daily into the likeness of Jesus, it is good and right that we recognize our sin. And it is good and right that we bring that before the Lord our God. Adoration, confession, and then thanksgiving. We thought about this quite a lot last week as we looked back to the year that had been. As we look back, we should see the ways that the Lord has been at work, the ways that the Lord has been faithful, and our response to that should be thanksgiving. As we look back, we're reminded that His love endures forever. As we sit and think about things, about our lives in Christ, there is so much to give thanks to the Lord for. And I wonder if in our prayers we tend to spend more time asking than giving thanks. But we're reminded every time we pick up the Bible that everything we have is from Him. He is good and He is generous. And there is so much for us to be thankful for, not least the new life that we have in Christ. And so as we remember that grace and that mercy that we've received through Christ, how can we not then return that with thanks to God? Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We can never say that we have nothing to pray about, because there is always something to be thankful for. As we wake up every day, we can give thanks at the very least that He has brought us through the night to this new day. And the final thing, supplication. Matthew 6, 11. Give us today our daily bread, and Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We see here that supplication, that asking, that making our request known to God. I also think that they are part of our thanksgiving. As we remember that everything we have comes from God, we can then give thanks to Him. But we here think about that supplication, that making our request known to God. What are our needs? And we share them in prayer with our Father in heaven. We sing this song often at St. Clement's. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too much. He cares for it all. And we must remember that in our prayers. As we make our request known, as we make our needs known and the needs of others to God, there is nothing too big. And there's nothing too small that God doesn't care about. There's nothing too big or too small that we can't bring before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Philippians 4 again, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We bring our requests, our petitions, our needs, the needs of others, the needs of the world, before the Lord. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear from His people, from His adopted children. And yet, He knows what we need before we even ask it. Just earlier on in Matthew 6, verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He knows what we need even before we ask. Doesn't that bring comfort to us? Doesn't that bring comfort to us that when we're unsure of what to say or how we're to ask our Father in heaven, He already knows what it is that we need. Even when we can't express it in words, the Lord our God knows. And so we're to bring our needs, our requests, our supplications to the Lord. We don't need to bargain with Him. We don't need to make deals with God as we bring our requests to Him. He knows what we need and He will answer our prayers and supply our needs. The Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, is King over all things. He is the one in control. He is the one who knows the big picture, even though we might not be able to see it. He cares for us as His children. He won't always give us what we think we need, but He will always give us what we need. He is a loving Father, and He will always provide for His children. He will give us what is good for us, what we need, and He will do so for His glory. Arthur Pink writes, prayer is not appointed for the furnishing of God with the knowledge of what we need, but it is designed as a confession to Him of our sense of the need. In this, as in everything, God's thoughts are not ours. God requires that His gifts should be sought for. He designs to be honored by our asking, just as He is to be thanked by us after He has bestowed His blessing. Doesn't that bring great comfort to us? He knows what we need, yet He still wants us to come before Him in prayer and ask for those things. And the Lord our God, our Father in heaven, He loves us and He cares for us, and He knows what we need, and He will answer those prayers for our good and for His glory. And so I hope that will be a good reminder, or even a good tool that you've never heard of before, when it comes to prayer. We pray with adoration, with confession, with thanksgiving, and with supplication. We don't necessarily do them all every time we pray, but they're good, helpful reminders for us to what our prayers should include. Let's not take the privilege of prayer for granted. Let's work at being healthy in our prayer lives, in our own lives, and in the prayer life of the church here. Let's pray that our trust in God our Father will grow even more over this next year. And so with that in mind, let me again remind you of our half day of prayer on the 25th of January. Do join us for that as we pray to our Heavenly Father, as we make our needs known to Him, trusting that He will answer our prayers for our good and for His glory. Amen.